Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to another episode, edition, installment, if you will, of Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, this fella here who's doing the talking for the moment, and we've got ourselves a brand new show today, obviously, and we have ourselves a pretty cool, very interesting guest.
Yes, we do. We will be talking today with Jim Murphy. He is the author of Inner Excellence: Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performance and the Best Possible Life. He's got a really interesting story. He was a former professional baseball player, had to retire after an injury, which led him to really question, well, if I'm not a baseball player, who am I? And it's funny because there was a few weeks ago, we had another guest, the former Marine who went to prison for a while. Sometimes right. In life, we're forced into these situations that really make us ask the deeper questions. And what he discovered along the way was profound. And now he's written this book. He coaches professional athletes on mastering the inner game, which we're going to learn more about that, and how that really leads us, the things we're chasing for in success on the outer game can often lead us constantly chasing and really never feeling that inner peace and joy and fulfillment. And he's saying, find that first, then your outer game becomes masterful. So I'm really looking forward to talking with him.
Okay, cool, very cool.
Sounds good.
And today, Jonna's alias, I'm sure, comes with a story. She showed up today. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that Jonna's Zoom name is an alias every week. And today we have Juicy Lucy.
Yes. Not to be confused with the hamburger. Isn't there a hamburger dish that's called a Juicy Lucy?
If there is, I never heard of it.
I have no idea what you're talking about there, lady.
You know, I'm going to look that up as we're speaking because I am not here to talk about hamburgers at all. I am here to, I know this is very rare for me, but I am here to lodge a complaint.
Okay. All right. Wow, that's shocking.
Yeah, yes. Seriously. Get a ledger out and start a brand new checklist of Jonna complaining about something.
Yeah, it's a rare moment, like a sighting of Halley's Comet. But before we begin, I just want to let you know, I looked it up. A Juicy Lucy is a stuffed cheeseburger with the cheese inside the burger instead of
on top. Oh.
Yes.
I love a good burger. Why do I not know this?
You should know this.
I do now.
But here's what I want to complain about, because another rare thing that I do.
Did this involve crushed red pepper?
No. I'm surprised we didn't get more people emailing us after last week's show to say, oh, my God, I'm so with you. I didn't get one single email to say, oh, my God, I'm so with you.
No, yeah, Frank Barry, she got them saying no, there's something wrong with you, but she's not telling us.
I know, seriously. I mean, you know, and it started with Carol and I not being in line with you either, even though you said we were.
Oh, yeah, you know, you guys were totally in line with me. That's how I remember it. Another thing that I rarely do is shop online on social media, like in the wee hours of the morning and just hit buy. Like,
right.
I never do that, right?
No.
So while I was not doing that, I was very, very, very excited to purchase a juice cleanse. Now, I've never actually done, I've done a lot of diets in my days. I've done the intermittent fasting. I've done a lot of things, but I really, really have been wanting to do a juice cleanse, not a 7-day, not even a 3-day. I just want to do like a 1-day juice cleanse because they say it's really good at like resets your whole metabolism. You probably like lose a pound or two in a day.
I'm sorry. This just makes me laugh because listen to her, Carol. She hasn't even gotten into what a juice cleanse really is or how it can work if you do one for a week. No, she's already saying, how can I do one of these really good juice
in
cleanses
a day.
in a day as fast as I possibly can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How can I make this as convenient as possible?
Exactly.
The John Spillbore way.
Precisely. So, okay. So I find this juice cleanser, rather, I should say, this juice cleanse found me on the Facebook at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I did a little research on it. I'm like, this could be really good. Like, it's all organic, it's all raw, it's all sourced in the United States. We don't have to worry about anything coming from weird country with E. coli. Like, I'm like, oh, this is for me. And then they happen to have like different packages you could buy. Like, you didn't have to buy a 7-day package. You could buy a 1-day package or a 3-day package. So I end up buying a 1-day juice cleanse, which ends up, well, actually I bought two of them. So I ended up buying, each day would have been like 7 juices. So I ended up with 14 juices. And then I got excited and I bought these little shots, these little extra shots. So I bought like 100 of these little shots, right? Just for like fun. Like, oh, during the day when you're not cleansing, you just boop, take a shot and like everything's good. And you look like a million times younger and you can run higher and jump faster. Anyway.
Higher and jump faster.
I'm really, really excited about my juice cleanse. So lo and behold, I pay the extra to get the juice cleanse really fast. And I get the juice cleanse really fast and it shows up and I come home from the office and I got boxes of this juice. Boxes. So I lug it all inside and I put it where all, it's like the staging area. Like if you imagine, like we've never worked at Amazon, but imagine if we did, right? So there's got to be like a staging area. Like the boxes that are going to be leaving the warehouse and going to the people, they probably come out and they're put in a staging area and then they're sorted, blah, blah, blah. Well, I got my own little personal little staging area, not because I get so many boxes, but because I get so many boxes. So I take the juices, lots of juices, and I put them in the staging area, which is my dining room table that never gets used except for staging boxes. And I go about my business. Well, I go about my business for that the rest of that night. And then I go about my business for the next day. And then I go about my business for the next day after that. Because you've got to plan, you guys. I mean, I've never done a juice cleanse, but you just can't like rip them open and start right away. You got to plan like, well, where do I
have home, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for reasons that shall go unmentioned. But so I'm like, all right, I'm going to plan my juice cleanse. And so about a week goes by and I finally pick my day for the juice cleanse. Great. So now I go over to the staging area because now I need to refrigerate the juices and I open the boxes. And as I'm opening the juice boxes, I see in very small print, not big yellow letters, not big red letters, not anything like that. In fact, the print was almost the same color as the cardboard boxes the juices came in. It says, highly perishable. Refrigerate immediately.
Oh.
So now I go, well, they must mean refrigerate immediately after you open the juices.
Right.
So I'm looking, and then I open the actual juice, the smaller boxes that the juices are in, and I notice that they were originally packaged in dry ice. The dry ice was gone, and on the actual bottles themselves now, it says, highly perishable, refrigerate immediately. And I'm like, I don't understand this. Like I get other juice. I order this ginger juice from a local company. It arrives in a cardboard box. It doesn't come with a dry ice and it stays forever. And when I open it, I put it in the refrigerator. But apparently this juice was different. This juice is unpasteurized. This juice is so highly perishable that if you do not immediately refrigerate it upon receiving, like there's no staging area, there's no dining room table staging area that's happening here. You will get E. coli or get botulism Listeria, and you will die. So you will die. If you do not immediately put these raw, organic, unpasteurized juices in the refrigerator.
Now, Jonna, I just want to ask you one thing.
Please do.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you get the box, you mm-hmm. open the box, the mm-hmm. box has dry ice in it.
A week later, Frank, I did not open the box. I put it in the staging area for a week. And when I opened the box,
the dry ice was all dried up.
So now I say to myself, self, this is BS. Because I get other things delivered to my house that come frozen. And they're not even for human consumption. They're for cat consumption. And on those boxes, not only does it say, warning, Will Robinson, this is frozen. You got to get it in the freezer as soon as possible. Warning, like you can't miss it. These companies send me texts like, hey, your box is coming in 3 days. Make sure somebody can take it inside. Hey, your box is going to be there in an hour. You got somebody to take it inside. I mean, come on, people, get with the program. Like, it gets you all worked up that, oh, my God, I got to get somebody there to get the box put in the fridge. And that's for cats. I am a human being. I spent $200 on a juice cleanse and juice shots. And they're like little tiny cardboard color freaking font. Oh, hey, highly perishable, E. coli, Listeria. You don't want it. Now, I had to throw $200 worth of juice cleanses out. Uh-oh. I don't want E. coli again. I don't want Listeria again. I'm sure I've had them both.
Again?
Listeria? Isn't that a flower?
No, you're talking about Wisteria. I'm talking about Listeria, the highly...
Oh, Liz, I thought you said Wisteria.
No, I had a ChatGPT that crap.
Frank and Mary, I'm on their website. Yeah. It's pure wild-crafted ocean algae.
Jonna, let me ask you. I know I realize it's 3 o'clock in the morning when you're usually doing this kind of thing, but mm-hmm. how closely do you not pay attention to some of the stuff that you order?
Frank and Mary.
I'm asking the question. You're telling me that when you're ordering this stuff, it doesn't say somewhere in the product information that this crap is going to show up to your house and it needs to be refrigerated immediately. It doesn't say that anywhere. Like you read every word, like the fine print on a contract. You read every word at that site, and you weren't prepared for this.
I'm on their site, and I'm thinking about buying it. Even with this current review, that's your progress.
Buy a little extra. Send it my way. Come on over. Unpack it. Put it in my fridge.
But wait a minute. Did you taste it anyway?
I thought about it. And then I chat GPT'd what could happen. And it was like bacteria, all these deadly things can happen to you. And ChatGPT even said, even if the juice looks fine, do not drink it. That's what ChatGPT told me. So.
Okay, wait a minute. Frank and Mary, and I remembered seeing her post about it, so I just went to Facebook and found it. So she's either exaggerating now, or she was exaggerating lying at the time she wrote her post. Because she says, I'll tell you right now, it's not making it on the happy hour with Jonna and Carol and our favorite Cat Daddy Frankenberry list. Why? For starters, it does not taste like you're eating a strawberry unless that strawberry is covered in barnacles.
You're mixing up my products. Mixing them up.
Covered in barnacles spat out of the blowhole of a dead orca. Am I really?
Yeah, I remember the strawberry. I think I replied or commented on your strawberry one, Jonna.
So this strawberry sea moss is not the thing you're complaining about?
No, I'm complaining.
Oh, God. Okay, forgive me.
I mean, it's exhausting, isn't it, Carol?
Oh, I can't keep up.
It would be really exhausting if I were sitting here with E. coli now, wouldn't it? No. Yes.
Well, exhausting for you, sure. I mean, we feel bad a little bit, but it wouldn't be us.
But I would make sure you felt my pain. So it kind of would be you.
So are you going to reorder the cleanse?
So now I'm torn because on the one hand, I wanted to contact the company and go, why would you not put in big red or yellow letters that this needs to be immediately refrigerated or you will die?
But then do that on the outside of the box and it didn't.
They do it on cat food. No, they did. And I have the box. take a picture. It's very nondescript.
I would tell them that you really wanted to try it and they didn't label the box. You probably will get another batch sent to you.
So I'm thinking about doing that because I really do want to. It sounds like a good product and I would really like to try it. But imagine if you just took $200 bills and ripped them up. Like, that pains me inside. That gives me E. coli pain without the E. coli germs.
I think if you send them a picture of the box, you'll get another shipment. Okay. Now, can we talk about sea moss? Are you done with the spoiled juice cleanse?
Sure. You want my sea moss? Because I'm not going to eat any more of it. I'll send it to you.
And that is because I just have to read it again. Tastes like strawberry covered in barnacles spat out of the blowhole of a dead orca.
Yeah, because that's exactly what it tastes like. I'm not even exaggerating. That is not exaggerating.
Oh no. And it gave you an instant headache for real?
Total instant headache. I think certain minerals might do that to certain people. And total instant headache. And the commercial on Facebook was like, oh my God, you could just eat this like pudding out of the jar. It's just so good. Oh, this is my favorite. Oh, mango. Oh, strawberry. Oh, oh. And I got it and I took a big old honking spoonful of it. Like, this is going to make me lose 10 pounds, make me look 10 years younger. And I nearly lost my cookies. Gross.
And I'm sure, Jonna, that if this stuff gave you a headache, then it really did. It might be something to stay away from. Because, I mean, you know what things that are shot out of a dead orca's blowhole taste like.
And if
that didn't give you a headache, you know.
How does a dead orca blow anything out of its blowhole?
Well, eventually, you know, when they find them on the beach and they try to put in the back, you know, they try to push them back in the ocean, they realize it's not going to work. And then eventually they just explode. That's probably how it happens.
Yeah. Or if you're giving CPR to a dead orca, you're like, you know, staying alive. And then all of a sudden out its blowhole. And then put it in a jar and then put it in Jonna's refrigerator and then Jonna sticks a spoon in it. That's exactly how it goes.
Right, right. Oh my God.
All while singing the Bee Gees.
Oh my God, you're making me cough from laughing so hard.
In a white suit, yes.
You guys are really getting on my last nerve today. Mm-hmm. So all right. So my mission before next week's show, I'm going to sheepishly reach out to that company and tell them my housekeeper, my honest lie. I'm going to say my housekeeper moved the boxes. I didn't even know they were there. Then I found them a week later. And
don't say housekeeper, Jonna.
Oh, do that?
Just say, listen, tell them about the staging area. And the box wasn't labeled the way you felt it should be. And you left stuff in the staging area. They'll get a laugh out of that.
Okay.
And I was really excited. I was excited to share this on the radio show I do.
Yes.
Oh, good one. Good touch. That's a good touch.
There you go.
I like that. Okay. Yeah.
That came from my inner excellence.
Okay. I was waiting for it.
Oh, it sure did.
Yeah. When we come back from the break, we will be talking with Jim Murphy, former Chicago Cubs professional baseball player, author of Inner Excellence, Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performance and the Best Possible Life.
All right, that's what we have on the way. So please stick around with Jonna Spillboard, Carol Pesci, this fella, and we will be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spillboard, Carol Pesci, Just Some Fella, and time now to get to our guest for this morning. And we are going to be speaking with Jim Murphy, right, Carol?
We sure are. So we love smart people, we love cool people and fun people, and we got the whole package today. Excuse me. We've got with us Jim Murphy, who is a former professional baseball player who retired after an injury. This led him to a crisis of identity faced with figuring out who he really was. What he discovered led to the ideas behind his book, Inner Excellence, Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performance and the Best Possible Life. He shares that we all have a mind that thinks negative thoughts and constantly judges our circumstances, ourselves, or others. and that changing that changes everything. He now coaches other professionals, including athletes, to master the inner game, leading to performance excellence. His book, interestingly, went viral when A.J. Brown was seen reading it on the sidelines of an NFL playoff game. Jim Murphy, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Love it. So I've read part of your book. I haven't finished it yet. Your story is fascinating, and I would love to begin there. What is the backstory that led you on this journey to discover these things that you discovered, and then why it mattered to you to put that into a book for others? I know that's a loaded question.
So I always dreamed about being a superstar professional athlete, like most American boys. You know, I played baseball, basketball, football growing up. And I got drafted by the Chicago Cubs out of Portland State University in Oregon. And it was a dream come true. But I played 5 years in the minor leagues and got injured and had to retire. And so dream over and my identity completely lost. I felt like I was somebody as a pro athlete. Nobody when I lost that status. But even as a pro athlete, I didn't really want my friends to introduce me if I didn't really have a good season, because, you know, in baseball, you're kind of evaluated by your batting average. And if they said, oh, my friend plays in the Cubs organization, you know, they're going to ask about my performance. And so everything about my identity was performance related. And when I lost it, it was so devastating.
That line that you just said, I think so many of us hold ourselves to that standard, that identity of what we do or what we accomplish. And then if we lose that or that changes, we're lost.
Yeah, super common. And this is, you know, kind of answering the question of why I wrote it is because I found that this is human nature. The human heart, the part that runs our lives along with our subconscious mind, has this deep need to be loved. And everything that we do is in search of this love, to be loved and accepted, to have an identity, to feel like I have some worth. And we do that through trying to get more achievements or more status or improve my looks and money, et cetera. And it's always this chase your tail, endless treadmill that never fulfills. So, okay, so back to my story. Should I finish that story?
No, go ahead. I was going to bring you back to the desert, but we'll get there.
Yes, thank you. So the Cubs, and don't know what to do with my life. I'm driving a truck for Federal Express, downtown Seattle. I get asked to coach a high school baseball team. Had no interest in coaching, just never thought of it. Would I be able to help anybody? Would they listen to anything I said? And we went undefeated. And so then I thought, oh, wow, I guess my destiny was not to be a superstar Major League Baseball player. It's to be a superstar Major League Baseball manager. And so I get into coaching. I do my master's in coaching science. I coach 1 year at the Texas Rangers. It just wasn't a good fit. Now I'm devastated again because all of a sudden I had my identity again. I was somebody again, pro baseball coach. And then I left and then I lost it. I get asked by Major League Baseball if I'm interested in coaching South Africa, being their hitting coach for the 2000 Sydney Olympics. I fly down there. It was an amazing experience. Our bat boy's living in the tool shed of our baseball field with his mother and little brother.
Wow.
Never really seen poverty before. His name was Gifton Gupe. He ends up getting drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates, becomes the first African-born player ever to play in the big leagues. Amazing story you can read about in Sports Illustrated. We go on to have one of the biggest upset victories in Olympic baseball history. I get to meet Nelson Mandela, march in opening ceremonies.
I have goosebumps.
Amazing experience. Yeah, it was just this incredible experience in 2000. But now what am I going to do after that? I left pro baseball, the highest level. I left in the middle of the season. So kind of burned that bridge. And then the Olympics was amazing, but that's only every 4 years. So what am I going to do now? And so that's when I ended up leaving for the desert. I left to go live a life of solitude. And back when we had screensavers on our laptops, mine said, those destined for greatness must first walk alone in the desert. And so that's what I did. I left for the desert to go live a life of solitude to figure out what to do with my life. And that's where Inner Excellence was born.
How did you know that's what you needed to do?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. There was a TV show back in the, 90s probably, called Ellen DeGeneres. And this one episode, she's moving out of her roommate's house. And it was her best friend. And her friend's like, why are you moving out? We have such a good time. Like, we could sit around and do nothing and just have so much fun. And she said, that's exactly why I'm moving out. Because 5 years from now, I could do nothing and just have such fun doing nothing, but I'll be in the exact same place. Mm. And I thought about that a lot for my life. I was like, I really feel like I'm destined to do something great with my life. And I need to get away from anyone that's going to look at me in my past. I need to think new thoughts and start fresh. And so that's where the desert came in.
And were you living in solitude?
Well, I got invited by a former teammate who was in Tucson, Arizona, starting a baseball academy, Centerfield Baseball Academy, Ricky Scruggs. He said, can you come down and help me for the weekend? And I thought, okay, this is my perfect chance. I'll go help him out part-time, and I'll move there, and I'll live this life of solitude. It wasn't like I lived in a teepee somewhere. I lived in the baseball academy for a few months, which had no showers, so I was showering at the gym. But to give you kind of an example of what my life was like, I think it was my second New Year's there in the desert. I'm in an empty house. I'm writing in my journal. I hear a noise. I go outside and I see fireworks. And that's when I realized it was New Year's Eve.
Wow.
So it was a lonely experience.
Jim, this is Jonna. Do you think part of the reason why you felt compelled to go really be alone in the desert, like, you know, not just alone in your apartment in some city, right, is because you wanted to avoid people judging you while you were in this kind of cocoon trying to figure out what you were going to do? Or did you just think you needed to keep people away? Like, I know it sounds like a dumb question. Why did you think you needed to be so far away from?
Yeah, it's a great question. Actually, it was the opposite of judging.
I didn't hear. A great question.
So Jim, we have this competition. Whenever someone tells me that's an excellent question, John, it goes, question. So you just told her she asked a great question. She's rubbing it in. Just say it. Now you're caught up.
Right. Yeah. We've got
a favorite question of all time, but it might have been.
We've got a chalkboard, Jim. It has marks. It's got two columns on it. Jonna, Carol. Jonna has two marks.
After this call, I'm going to fly out there and we're going to schedule an inner excellence workshop so we can deal with this outcome orientation you guys have. Although, ironically, those clients have the best year of their careers or the best year of their last 5 years, our first year together. The majority do. So even though we don't focus on results, they get the best results. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the question. I actually, it was the opposite of judgment why I left. It was actually because of the support, ironically. I never really thought about it. So I was a personal trainer trying to figure out what to do with my life. And I thought, you know what, if I stay here, everyone's going to say, why would you change anything? Jim, you know, we love you. You're doing so good. You know, everyone loves you. Like, don't change anything. That's what I knew I had to get away from. At least I didn't know I had to get away from it. I knew that I wanted to start with a clean slate. If anything is possible, what would I do? What's the purpose of my life? That's what I needed to figure out. And I didn't want anyone to influence me. You know, it's just like if I flew out to your hometown and you're going to give me a tour, I may not want to say, hey, you know, I want to do this or I want to do that because I don't want to influence what you're going to do because I want, you know, the experience from your point of view.
The most.
So would you say being in solitude, did you get, and I like to call them like downloads, like instances of knowing that come from a bigger place that only a quiet mind can receive?
Well, I can tell you there's a lot of lonely moments and I had no idea anything good would come out of it. I mean, I was hoping. I didn't go there to write a book. I just knew that, I gave away the majority of my possessions. I moved to the desert, got rid of my TV. This is before streaming. And so now I just like realized, okay, I can't bring my TV with me because the worst possible outcome would be I go to the desert, I'm totally bored and lonely, and I totally waste my time. So no TV. And so it was very lonely. I mean, a lot of solitary moments.
How did you come to the perfect, your book? I got to be honest. I have a whole bunch of screenshots and lines underlined. I could read so many quotes from your book because there's just some powerful insight. And I'm trying to understand how you came to that, how you figured out. And I'm going to read something actually from your book. Most of us have had it backwards, trying to be successful in order to be happy. If we focus on improving our inner world, however, we'll achieve far more. We can have joy and peace, purpose and power, which will maximize our performance as well. But we need to get the order right if we want extraordinary performance over the long term and an amazing life. Heart first, performance second. So that was the crux of this book. But how'd you come to that understanding?
Yeah, that is, you know, just I get the chills listening to that because it's so true, so powerful. Thank you for sharing that. You know, that whole pursuit was so, I have so many thoughts coming to my mind right now. I can't even put them all together. Can you tell me the question again?
Of course. Yeah. The question is, how did you come to that profound understanding and with such clarity that it is the inner world first? And that you, and which I think part of the story here too is like we look at celebrities or people who on the outside appear to have it all. Man, I wish I could have that. And they're battling and they're struggling with their inner world. And you figured it out. Did you figure that out completely in the desert? Was part of it your, getting your master's as coaching? I'm trying to understand how you figured out that profound distinction that the inner world matters first and the outer world will excel when you master the inner world.
Yeah, the first thing that happened was thanks for re-explaining. I decided that I wanted to become a personal coach to pro baseball players and teach them how to have peace and confidence under pressure. I decided this is going to be the job I'm going to do. And my first two clients did amazing. So then I was like, okay, this is going to be my job. So I'm going to put together a little manual on how to have peace and confidence under pressure for future clients. And so I called up a sports psychologist and I asked him, how can a pro baseball player in game 7 of the World Series, bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases loaded, down by one, full count, how can that guy have peace and confidence?
Yeah.
And then similarly, how can an Olympic athlete train for 4 years an event that may last less than a minute and have peace and confidence in that situation? And that brought more questions than it did answers. So I called another psychologist and another and another and another. And that led to the 5 years of full-time writing and research, 50 hours a week for 5 years straight. So that's what kind of kicked it off. And what I found there was that the heart is the key to your life. And when I say heart, I mean your spirit, your will, the deepest part of you. We're far more than thinking machines. We need to get to your subconscious mind and your heart if we really want to impact your life or anyone's life, whether you're a parent, a counselor, a teacher, a coach, a friend. We need to get to that deeper level. And that's where, you know, that's the level of inner strength and mental toughness and inner peace and beauty, gratitude. Those five things are all interlinked. And so that's what I found in the desert.
Jim, this is Jonna again.
Here comes a great question. Get ready.
No, seriously, you got a pen?
No, I do. I have a challenging question. So what would you say to those of us who agree that, you know, the heart comes first, the inner work has to come first for the outer to be good? What would you say to those of us who can't go to the damn desert? Like, what would you say to those of us who, you know, you got to go to the desert, so you probably weren't worried about paying the electric bill, the mortgage, where you're putting the kids on the bus and all that, and all that stuff. And that's awesome. Yeah. A lot of people who want to work on the inner and the outer is so loud that they can't.
Oh, that is a great question. I'm going to give you that. So, I'm giving you that.
Man, that is good. So there's that's two true. Things. One, you can go to the desert. So I don't think that's true. It's just like saying, I can't golf with you, Jim, on Monday. I got to go to work. That's not true. That's never been true. The truth is, when someone says that, they don't want to go golfing with me on Monday. I mean, I don't know why they would say that, but because they feel like they might get fired or in trouble at work. You know, obviously they could golf. They feel the repercussions are greater than the advantage. It's just like, you know, I had a pro golfer say, sometimes I just want to walk off the course. But I can't do that. I was like, wait a second. You can't? Next time you ever feel like that on the course, I want you to know you've got the freedom. You've got choices. You've got agency. You think it through. Okay, I'm going to walk. I want to walk off the course right now. Okay, let's think it through. Okay, I'm going to walk off. I'm going to go to the tent. I'm going to tell them I'm withdrawing. I'm going to throw my clubs in the trunk. I'm going to try not to slam the trunk. I'm going to drive to Chipotle with my caddy, and I'm going to have a burrito with my caddy and Chipotle. And we're going to stare at each other, and we're going to sit there. Would I rather sit there with him or keep facing my challenges out here? And then if you'd rather do it, then go do it. That's the better thing. And so we all have agency. And so hurry sickness is one of the biggest challenges that we face.
What a good term. What a good term.
Hurry sickness.
So
hurry. Yeah. Like always in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Yeah, anxiety is epidemic levels that we have right now. Anxiety is a mind with too many thoughts from too many concerns. I used to think that I would hurry to get things done so I could reduce my stress. Now I realize that the hurry was a big cause of the stress.
That is
Can I give
huge.
You another example from today?
Yes,
please.
So I had a 12 o'clock meeting with the police to get fingerprinted. And I don't know if I should get into that story, but I had to get fingerprinted here in Spain. I'm just kidding. It's just for residency. But so I found out yesterday I had a 12 o'clock meeting, but I also had a 1:10 p.m. NPR interview. And then I had a 3 o'clock meeting and then 4 o'clock with you guys. And so I get there and the meeting I didn't get in to see the police until 12:45. And then they said, oh, you need a photo. You don't have a photo with you. You need a passport photo. And then so they tell me about, and they don't speak English. So I'm trying to work through my broken Spanish. And I soon understand they want me to go to a photo booth on the side of the road somewhere in downtown Alicante. And so it's a little unorthodox. But I look, I can't find it. And so eventually, long story short, I started to get a little stressed. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever stressed when you have like so much out of your control, so many things to do, and you don't, how can I keep track of it all?
Never, ever.
And so the first principle of inner excellence is everything is here to teach me and help me. It's all working for my good. Mm. And remember, the thing that I always remind myself is God is training for you, Jim. It's all training for you. Like that thing you think is the worst thing that in your life, it could be the best thing. And that thing that you think is so horrible, it could be orchestrated by God, by the universe, specifically for you, for your good. And doesn't that change everything? If you're undergoing some challenge, and then what if you realize all of a sudden you have the wisdom of the universe and you realize, actually, this was all orchestrated for you. It's not hurting you or something in your way. It's here to develop you. And so I remember that. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to stress about all these things I can't control. And I mean, there's a good chance it's not going to work out. And that, you know, I might have to drive the hour back to the police station some other day. But I'm going to trust that it's all going to work for my good. And I believe it can happen. I just can't stress about all the different things I can't control. I'm going to do one thing at a time. And so I got out of the police station at about 12:50 p.m. for my 1:10 meeting. And then I'm driving around. There's no parking. And so finally, I found parking at like, I don't know, 1:03. And I have my 1:10 interview, and that lasts till 1:25. And then the photo place, I found one, but they close at 1:45. And I'm going to be back at the TV station by 2 p.m. So all of this happens. It all worked out perfectly. And I realized it was way better that all happened instead of just having smoothly. That was all way better for me, because the number one thing I want in my life is wisdom. And faith goes along with wisdom. And there's no way to grow your faith unless you go through difficulties. And there's no way to grow your wisdom without difficulties, without challenges. If there's things that you can't control and you want but can't control, if there's nothing like that, you'll never grow in faith or wisdom. You have to have things out of your control that you want and can't control. And so it was amazing today.
That is quite a story. And it reminds me, I'm sure you'll know who said this, but nothing is good or bad except the thinking that makes it so.
Powerful.
And yeah. And so this is one of the first principles in your book. So John asked the amazing question for those of us who, as you explained, choose not to go to the desert to gain the insight that you did. Your book walks people through that process of changing how they see themselves, how they see the world, how they see the things, because everything we're after, we think, okay, I want that car, I want that house, or I want that experience. Truly, in the end, what we want is because we expect it to help us feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. And your book walks us through how to change our perceptions, the choices that we make to get that feeling first. Am I right?
Oh, man, I think we got to talk about the $10 million house story, don't we?
Oh, I didn't get there yet. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we have about another 3 minutes. I want to hear it. Can we do that in three minutes?
Okay, so yes, there's another book called The Best Possible Life. You get the full story in there that I wrote. And so essentially, what would you rather have? A $10 million house on the ocean, fully paid off, or live in an apartment the rest of your life, paycheck to paycheck, no savings ever, but be guaranteed amazing experiences, deep contentment, joy, confidence, enriching relationships, a meaningful purpose for the rest of your life, every day the rest of your life. Which would you rather
have? Door number two. I picked door number two. Easy.
Yeah, and door number two sounds very familiar, actually. You know, I can relate. I can relate to door number two.
So my whole life, I would have always chosen number one, because I'd never really had a lot of anxiety until one day I did. And then I started to realize, well, what is it that why do you want the nice house? Isn't it because you want amazing experiences and deep, enriching relationships? Isn't that why you want the house? Well, what if you could get it directly? And that's what inner excellence is. We go for that life directly without, because you don't even know if the house will make you happy. I mean, it could make you devastatingly anxious and stressed out.
Amazing. Jim, I would love to have you come back because you've got so much to offer. I love your energy. I love your insight. We're talking with Jim Murphy. He is the author of Inner Excellence, Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performance and the Best Possible Life. If people wanted to learn more about you, I don't know if you are taking on clients for coaching or buy your book. How do they do that?
Go to innerexcellence.com, sign up for my newsletter, the VIP newsletter, and they'll announce retreats and workshops. And I also send out tips and stuff on there. You can follow me on Instagram, Inner Excellence Jim Murphy. You can send me a message there if you like, or join our Facebook group, Inner Excellence.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your insight with us and our listeners and the care and concern you've taken in writing this book and all that you do to help others. We appreciate you.
Jim, wait. That's Carol's nice way of saying goodbye. Here's mine. I just want to warn you about one thing while you're in Spain. Okay? You ready?
Yes. Yes.
Squiggly food. That's all I'm going to say. Squiggly food. All right? Watch yourself.
The food here is so amazing. Thanks so much for having me, you guys. Love you guys.
Yes. Right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much. And thank you for putting another marker on Jonna's side of the board. All right. We'll be right back. Segment number three is on the way with Jonna Spillboard, Carol Pesci, and this fella named Frankenberry. We'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's happy hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's happy hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spillboard, Carol Pesci, this fella, and thank you very much. Oh, hold on. I almost forgot. Whoa. Hello, ladies. I did that on purpose.
Wow.
I'm just trying to wake you up.
Is that our cue? Are we going?
All right, one more time. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry. Oh, she did that angry.
Yeah, she did. She's rasser frassing right now. She's going down into the basement to fight with the furnace. But anyway, Jim Murphy, thank you very much for joining us today.
What a cool guy. His story is amazing. His insight is powerful. Boy, you know, you can understand that in theory. Okay, I know that what we're all after, whatever we're trying to accomplish or achieve or acquire, when you truly drill it down, it's because you think you're going to feel a certain way, proud, happy, content, whatever it is. But then we get on this we call it a zero-sum game where you keep chasing the wrong thing, thinking it's going to make you happy. And his book walks you through how to master that inner game first to really get that contentment, that heart first. And his the results of people he works with as a coach are phenomenal by having them switch that around.
It's crazy because I know this is a concept that so many of us struggle with because it's when you let all the external stuff come at you like arrows, right? The crap, the aggravation, the arguments, the bills, the this, the that, the divorces, the everything. And it's really hard. I think a lot of people might be sitting here right now going, I can't do that. How am I going to be happy on the inside with all this stuff making me unhappy on the outside? And I guess if we could all give it a shot, you got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose in that case by just trying to find the inner peace and then letting the outer peace, you know, envelop you.
And that's what his book, if you missed the interview, we were talking with Jim Murphy, author of Inner Excellence. And that's what his book helps you do. I mean, NFL playoff players were reading his book. That's when his book went viral. So there's something to it for sure.
I forgot to ask him one other very important question, which would have put another check on my side of the column. You know, you want to know what I'm going to ask him next time when he
comes. Yeah.
Oh, please tell us.
I'm going to ask him if he has a horse with no name. Boom.
Ah, yes. Riding in the desert.
Desert.
Yes, gotcha.
Okay.
And I want you to know, by the way, that I did not ask him any questions about doing peyote while he was out there either.
I bet you he did, or he did that other stuff, that ayahuasca. It's all the rage.
It's all the rage.
Ayahuasca.
All the rage.
All right. Well, listen, Jim Murphy, thank you so much for joining us today. It was more than welcome to have you here, and hopefully we'll have you back at some point. And for Jonna Spillboard and Carol Pesci, I am that guy, Frankenberry, and we will be back again next week, Same time, right here. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.